today. The old cowboy went to church one day, had his dust, sweat, beaten brow hat on. He had cowboy boots that had all of the outdoors on them. Bad Levi's. Everybody moved away from him when he sat in the pew of the church. That service ended. He was walking out, and the preacher met him and said, "Sir," he said, "before you come back to this uptown church, I want you to pray and ask God what kind of clothes you ought to wear to come to the house of God." He walked away. The next Sunday he came, and he was even a little more dusty, a little more dirty, and everybody moved away from him. The preacher met him at the door at the close and said, "I thought I told you to pray and ask God what kind of clothes you ought to wear to come to this church." He said, "I did." He said, "Well, what'd the Lord tell you?" He said, "The Lord told me he didn't have a clue because he had never been here before." I'm glad the Lord's here today. Doesn't matter how you come to God, it depends on how you leave the house of God. We welcome everybody to the house of the Lord today because Jesus is in the house today. He was here before we came. We'll take him when we go. We're never without him wherever we go. Why don't you lift your hands together and love him? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. We give honor to your pastor and his wife and family and this great church, all the ministry that is here. We certainly miss Brother Copeland being here, but we know God is in control. And if God will allow him to be here tonight, we'll enjoy that. We want him to be well, don't we? We want him to live long, don't we? Praise God. You know, tall people don't live long. We live tall, we die long. But we want him. In fact, I used to be as tall as he is. I did. I used to be as tall as he is. We want him to live long, don't we? Why don't we lift our hands one more time and pray that God gives him health, strength. Savior, in the name of the Lord, touch Brother Copeland right now. In the name of the Lord, do a work in his body for the glory of God. We worship you for his healing right now. Strengthen his heart, his life, and all that goes together to make him the man of God that he is. We worship you for it. Done now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, I understand that I am standing between you and hunger. So I'll do my best to make sure that you are satisfied. Both ways, God being our helper. If you have your Bibles, would care to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 12. I'm not sure what time you all get out. Do we get out at 12 o'clock sharp? Some people in our church say, "Well, we leave at a certain time, so it doesn't matter whether you're through or not." And I'll try to be mindful of this today. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12. "And the angel of the church of Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know your works." My. I'm glad God knows us today. There's nothing like having a God that knows who we are. I went to a foreign country one time and they was polishing Buddha, painting him up, making him look better, fixing him up. Paint had started to peel and crack. Their God had to be fixed up. Our God is opposite. He fixes us up. He fixes us up. Hallelujah. You don't have to paint our God. You don't have to mark, make the dust come off of our God. Our God is everywhere at all times. He's here. I said, he's here. I know thy works and where thou dwellest. God knows where you are today. Even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you. For time's sake, let me take you to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 43, and verse number 1. Ezekiel 43 and 1. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from way out of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Chebar. And I fell upon my face, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings nor their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places, in their setting of their threshold. And their post, by their threshold by my threshold, and their post by my post, and the wall between me and them. They have even defiled my holy name by their abominations. And they that have committed, wherefore I have consumed them in mine anger. These two scriptures I want to preach to you today as two churches. One, where the seat of Satan is, and they survived as a church. The other, they moved the threshold to God's threshold, and yet they couldn't survive because there was a wall between them. I would like to name this today, the church at the very gates of hell, and preach to you from this subject and these two churches. And I have come today for somebody to help you remove the wall between you and our God. You and his church. You and his body. Would you ask the Lord to help us today? Would you lift your voices together and ask the Lord to be with us? Let the word of God become fruitful to our minds and our hearts today. Let the refreshing of the Holy Ghost be in this house. We worship you for victory today. We ask it in the wonderful name of the Lord. And somebody said amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God. You may be seated. I want to preach to you about these two churches today. One, that is even where the seat of Satan dwells and survives as a church. I really believe today that no matter where you are in America, our world is turned into hell. We are living on the very brink of the coming of the Lord on one side and the very destructive forces of darkness on the other side. Our world is not the same as it was 40 years ago. In fact, in yesterday's news, North Korea tested a bomb that could destroy hundreds, yea, thousands of people. We're living on the very brink of war. We're living on the very brink of darkness encroaching itself against the church. Used to be, church was part of society's better places. Today, church in our world and the church of God has been met by threshold to threshold. They're trying to speak about God, but there's a wall between them and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I came to tear that wall down today. and let you know that my God reaches beyond the walls of this church. My God reaches in the very seat where Satan dwells. You may have lived a life of torment and destruction, but I want to preach to you today. You're in the house of God today. You crossed over the other threshold, and you're in the presence of the Almighty God today. The other church, of course, has moved their threshold so close. They have a Bible. They talk about Jesus. They talk about God. They talk about even world events. But they're so far from God because of a wall between them and God. In the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul wrote to the church at Rome. And he said to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Rome was a very wicked city, yet there were saints. And he said, called to be saints. And he said, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians wrote these words in Philippians 4 and 22. And all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. We know Caesar's household was a very wicked household. Caesar was a very wicked man. He was known to be one of the wretches of society. He persecuted the church as early as 64 AD. He set Rome on fire by himself, they said. He killed and murdered his own mother. A lot of his subordinates he murdered. He was a wretched man, very vile, very wicked. But the Bible said, I want to salute them that are of Caesar's household. We are living in an evil world today. We are living in a church world that has forsaken principles, godly principles. But I'd like to preach to you today that a wall can come down between the world and the church, and we can reach them and they can reach us. So good to see a full house today. So good to see somebody that came to the house of God rather than the world events of today. You came to worship the Almighty God. And he's here in this place today. A saint is somebody that has separated themselves from the world. You have separated yourself from the world. But you're not so separate from the world that the threshold of the world has not met your home, your family. Almost every one of our families have been affected by the world. The threshold of the church world, the threshold of religious society, the threshold of an evil generation, and hardly a line of demarcation between the two of them. The church world is blending in with the political world. The political world is blending in with the wickedness of our society. But there is a church that's separate today. There is a church that has God in their presence. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad to tell you today that you can come to the house of God and feel God and experience God. We are the church at the very gates of hell. We're not going to separate ourselves so far that we cannot touch and reach a world. And we're not going to allow the world to be so distant from us that they cannot be reached. But I want to preach to you, it's more important for you to live for God today and be separate than ever before in the world. Our world needs to see Christianity as it is. Our world needs to feel God as he really is. A church world needs to experience the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad you believe in the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad you believe in baptism in Jesus' name. I'm so glad that you have not distanced yourself from true church so far that there's no resemblance of God nor his word. But we're in his house today, and I came to love him and to worship him. Oh, hallelujah. There was a church and in Caesar's house. I know you work in a vile place. Many of you work in very corrupt places where people are vile. Curse words and languages are so vile. You can be a Christian there. You need to be a Christian there. You need to let your light shine there. You don't need to take a tuck head that you're a Christian. I don't care what the world thinks about us. We're the children of the Most High God. We belong to Jesus. I'm not taking a back seat to anybody. I'm telling you, the church is the best place in the world. We are the best thing going. We have the best attitude. We have the best spirit. We have the best freedom. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I salute the church in Caesar's house. Hey, if they can live for God in Caesar's house, we can live for God in this world. I said, we can live for God in this world. I know we're on the brink of hell. I know Satan dwells right outside this building. He's not in here, I'm telling you. He's already gone. Somebody mentioned the name of Jesus and he left. He's not here. Aren't you glad this is a sanctuary? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But right outside the doors on the very brink of hell are individuals that need this church, need this community, need this worship, need this deliverance. Paul saluted those of Caesar's house. The gospel had penetrated to the very gates of hell. That's why I believe the Revelator wrote these words, I know where you are and where you dwell. I believe God knows what you're going through. I said, I believe God knows what you're going through. You may be on the brink of hell, but you're also on the brink of heaven. Oh, heaven is a place. Oh, yes, it is. Just as hell is a place, heaven is a place. Just as God is our God, there is a Lucifer, there is a Satan, there is a dragon, there is that old serpent. They don't call that a trinity. They're all separate. But when they try to figure out God, they want to divide and dissect him and make him three. We know who God is. We know what his name is. What's his name? I'm telling you, what's his name? It's a name that is above every name. And we worship him because his name is what has saved us. And the identity of Jesus is what washed our sins away. I'm glad there's some young people in here today. Talked not long ago about a family that was asking about the young people in our church. They went to a denominational church. There was not very many young people in their church. In fact, there was no young people. They was asking about, well, do you have young people in your church? I said, yes. Our youth choir sometimes reaches 40 or 50 kids. They couldn't believe it. No young people in their church. I'll tell you why. They've given in to the world. There's nothing that satisfies a young person in their church any longer. I'm glad to tell you that our music can be godly because we make it godly. Our worship is godly because we make it godly. This house is godly because we make it godly. I know this church was not always First Pentecostal Church, but we made it the house of God. We make it what it is today. So Joseph was a young man. Sold into slavery, sold into Potiphar's house, tempted by the world, the perversions of that day. Potiphar's wife was so vile, she tried to pull him into her environment. He shed his coat and left. She used it as a witness against him, but he never gave up. He was at the very gates of that would be called hell in his mind. He was in prison, having been sold by his brethren. He could have thrown up his hands and said, I'm not going to live for God. But he said, I'm living for God. I had a vision. I had a dream. I have hope of something better than this. If you could get your mind on heaven today. I know it's not preached in our world like it ought to be preached, but heaven is real. I said, heaven is real. Don't ever lose your vision of heaven. It'll keep you through the storms of life. It'll keep you through the desperate times of your struggles. Heaven is as real as life itself. Joseph never lost his vision, never lost his dream. In prison, he became a witness of his God, the kindness he delivered to others. He was eventually restored to the kingdom and eventually met his brethren. I'm cutting out a lot of the story for time's sake, but he eventually made it to where his dream was fulfilled. And what he did was he lived for his God through the difficult times, and he lived for God during his exalted times. He said, we're not staying in Egypt. And when we leave Egypt, be sure you take my bones. I don't want my bones even left in this place. I want to tell the world today, I don't want nothing left in this place. I want to be where Jesus is. When he comes back, I want to go to be where Jesus is. I know we're at the very gates of hell. I know this church has faced difficulties, but I'm here to tell you, I'm here to preach to you today. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You can live for God, and you can make it in our world. If they have Caesar's house can make it, we can make it. If Joseph made it, we can make it. I said, if Joseph made it without the Holy Ghost, we can make it because we have the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to shout with victory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Daniel was probably 16 years of age. He was elevated very importantly and fastly in Babylonian captivity. In captivity, he never forsook his God. I don't know what age it was when he was tempted to give up his God and quit praying. But as a young man, he purposed in his heart. You young people, what you have to do is make up your mind today. You're going to live for God. Don't let the world take you in. Don't let the effects of the world take you in. This is the church on the very gates of hell. You don't have to walk very far out of this building and you're going to meet the troubles of our world. But right here, listen to the man of God in your life. Purpose in your heart. You're going to live for God. Make up your mind you're living for God. Nothing's going to change you. Nothing's going to take you out. I'm living for God. And when they said we cannot get him by his life, we'll get him by his God. Tried to find his life. Live for God, young men. So they said, okay, we know what to do. He's a praying man. We'll get him to stop praying. I don't care what you go through, young people. Be at prayer meeting. I don't care what you're faced. Lift your hands to worship God. I don't care what you're going through. Never forsake the God that has given you peace and victory. Even as a young person, purpose in your heart. I'm living for God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My father received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a barn and a dirt floor at the age of 8 years. He lived to be 96. He lived for God 88 years. He had the Holy Ghost 88 years. I can tell you, my God's able to keep you. He's able to keep you. He drilled the church into our hearts. He drilled the truth into our hearts, and he lived for God. I'm here to tell you, you can make it no matter what comes against you. You can survive. So they said, Daniel, you can't pray anymore. You got to give honor to the king. The next morning, didn't matter to him. He opened the windows of his place and he faced towards Jerusalem because that was the prophecy. When you're in a foreign country, you pray towards Jerusalem. He never forsook that. He opened those windows, he began to pray, knowing the decree of the king. Knew that he was going to face difficulty. What are you going to do when you know you're going to face difficulty? You've purpose in your heart, you're going to live for God. I'm telling you, go ahead and open those windows toward heaven and begin to pray anyway. My God is able to sustain you and to keep you. The king really liked Daniel as a young man, elevated him. He was now distraught because he was trapped by his own astrologers and leaders and religious people of that day. But he had to throw Daniel in the lion's den. But early the next morning, he said, I haven't been able to sleep all night. Daniel, how you doing down there? He must have believed in himself that God would have taken care of him. And Daniel hollered back up to him, long live the king. My God has taken care of me. I know I don't have time to preach the whole story because I want to get somewhere else today. I just want to tell you, it doesn't matter what you go through. You can live for Jesus. You can live for Jesus. You can make it. I know we're living in a day where the powers of darkness are pressing against the church. And many churches are falling prey to the enemy right here at the very gates of hell. I know the enemy's trying to destroy the church. And prophecy said there's going to be a great falling away. I know in the midst of that falling away that there's going to be a revival because we're in the midst of revival right now. Look at this building. It's full. Yes, there's a falling away. Yes, there's some leaving God. But there's some coming back to God. There may be a backslider in this house. Let me tell you, right in hell of your life, whatever you've gone through, my God can refill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're on the brink of revival like we've never seen. Yes, many are leaving. Many are walking away from truth, maybe. But there's others coming. I want to welcome you to the greatest experience of all of your life. We are the church at the very gates of hell. We're reaching to individuals hungry for God. We're going to destroy the works of darkness and bring light to your life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody can shout. Somebody can shout with victory. They tried to destroy their convictions. They tried to destroy their purpose in life. The three Hebrew children and Daniel stood at the very gates of hell and said, I'm living for Jesus no matter what the world does. I'm living for God no matter what goes on around me. We can make it, church. We can survive whatever the devil puts on us, whatever the world puts on us, whatever your own flesh puts on you. You can overcome. I said, you can overcome. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. With the threat of the fiery furnace, with the threat of the lion's den, with the threat of them trying to destroy their convictions, their moral character, all of them lived in the Old Testament without the Holy Ghost. And they lived for God. The Spirit of God moved on them, but He moves in us. I know some of you have been tempted. I know you've gone through trials. You're just human. You're just normal people. I'm from the West Coast. You're over here on the East Coast. Same devil, same world, same attitude, same spirit. It's all trying to destroy what we are. I wonder if I've got anybody committed in this church, the church right at the very gates of hell, whose threshold right on the other side of that wall is a church world, a religious world, a world of darkness that's tried to make its encroaches. I wonder if we have anybody in this building that says, it doesn't matter what the world does. I made up my mind. I'm living for God. I made up my mind that heaven is my goal, and I'm going to live for God with everything that's in me. I made up my mind. I'm not giving in to the temptations of the world. I made up my mind. I'm being strong in the faith. I made up my mind. I'm making it all the way. Hallelujah. Nothing's going to deter me. The fiery furnace is not going to stop me. The den of lions not. Huh? Den of lions is not going to stop you. Whatever the world puts on you, not going to stop you. No, we're on our way to heaven, folks. We're so close to heaven, I can feel it. I can sense it. Our world is in turmoil. Our world, not just America, our world is in turmoil. It's time to live for Jesus. Hallelujah. And so Paul said, I want to salute those saints in Caesar's household. Can you imagine what it'd be like to try to live for God in Caesar's household? My. The emperor of Rome was so vile, killed his own mother, destroyed a lot of his own people, and yet they lived for God. It says they lived for God. He said, I salute the saints at the very gates of hell. I'm saluting the saints of Caesar's household. You think you have it tough? We don't have it tough yet. Caesar's household was tough to live for God. It was a difficult place. Their circumstances to obedience to God could not be revealed everywhere they went. Catacombs have been prepared. There was a lot of persecution going on, but they survived because they made a little colony of heaven in the very hard hole hell of Caesar's household. You can make a little heaven no matter where you are. You have a spouse that's not living for God and you think it's bad, you can live for God. Little sister Courtney in our church in Arizona, she had a husband that didn't want her to go to church. And she said, I'm going to church Sunday night. He picked up a knife at the kitchen table, and while her hand was on the table, she stabbed her hand to the table. You're not going to church. She pulled the knife out, put a Band-Aid on her hand, came to church wrapped with a hand wrapped, raised to God. Now, I want to tell you something. You think you're living in a difficult place. I just want to tell you, you can still live for Jesus. Make up your mind you're going to live for Jesus. There were people that lived for God in Caesar's household under the threat of death, catacombs, animal slaves, whatever. They lived for God. We don't have it that bad yet. We ought to come to the house of God, run the aisles, shout the victory, raise our hands and worship God. We're in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's right in the gates of hell, but I'm telling you, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. This is the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody worship him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. In the midst of all the sin of our world, in the midst of all the perversion of our world. And it's not going to get better. Our world is going to get worse and worse. Evil men waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's not going to get better. It's the best it's going to be right now. You might as well make up your mind, hey, it doesn't matter what hell does. It doesn't matter what the church world does. It doesn't matter what Satan does. It doesn't matter what my friends do. I'm living for God. Come on, we're going to make up our minds that church is the most important place to be, and we're going to live for Jesus. Somebody ought to get with me right now. Somebody ought to recognize the devil's at your doorstep right now. He said, I know where you dwell. I know who you are. I know your works, where Satan dwells. I'm telling you, you can live for God right where Satan dwells. Make a little heaven out of it. Make a little heaven out of it. They thought victory. They talked victory. They lived victory. They overcame the enemy. They stood strong so much they were recorded in the book of Philippians. I want to salute them. I want to salute them. You salute those that have honor. He said, I want to salute those saints at Caesar's house. My, I can't boast about being in Caesar's house. I can't boast about being in a lion's den. I can't boast about being through the fiery furnace. I've came through some things. I've overcome some things, but nothing compared to all of that. And I have the Holy Ghost right now that whatever the devil wants to throw at me, I know how to throw it back. I know how to overcome. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be like David. I will enter into his courts. Thanksgiving. I want to walk through the gates and say, bless his holy name. I want to take the book of Psalms and live it in my praise, because God has delivered me out of some things already, and I'm saved today because of him. I'm here today because of Jesus. They were saints of courage, saints in Caesar's household. No doubt driven underground somewhat. They held services in catacombs. They were captured. They were tortured. They were killed. They were slain on the spot. Their dying moments were filled with the stench of burning flesh, and they never gave up. Saints of Caesar's household. No, it wasn't easy living for God then. And now I don't care about the prosperity preachers that tell you it's all going to be smooth living for God today and that you're going to be wealthy living for God. I'd rather be poor and make it to heaven than have all the riches of the world. They were Christians at the risk of their life. They had overcome the world and were not going to sell out for a cheap price. Cigarettes, addictions, booze, everything that destroys life, why sell out for that when we have the joy of the Lord? I felt that peace come in this place today. I felt the peace of God come in this place today. Yes, I know we're at the church at the very gates of hell. I know just outside this city, in this city, is destructive forces, but we found the church. Oh, hallelujah. Paul's preaching had penetrated right into the very abyss of hell and saved families in Caesar's household. I want to encourage you, church, don't stop talking about God. Everywhere you go, what church you go to, let me invite you to a going church. Let me invite you to where we have spontaneous worship. That's what's here, isn't it? I want to invite you to a church where the preacher preaches with anointing. I want to invite you to a church where an altar, you can find deliverance. I want to invite you to a place where you can feel a real delivering power of the Holy Ghost. Paul's preaching reached into Caesar's house. You don't know who you're going to witness to. You don't know who you're going to talk to. You don't know where they're coming from, where they're living. Tell them about Jesus. Your story is more important than you realize. Some of you have been delivered from addictions. Some of you have been delivered from immorality. Some of you have been out of prison, no doubt, out of jails, out of confusion, and now you're at peace. Don't you think there's somebody in Caesar's house just like you that wants to be saved? Why build a wall between us and the world? Hey, what do you say? We tear down the wall, cross over the threshold. There's a world waiting to have what you have. There's somebody waiting to be happy just like you're happy. Why not talk to them about it? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jews first, but now to us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. My. Even a harlot in the Old Testament was saved by a scarlet thread because of her obedience, her taking people in. There's people living vilely today in our world that's ready for changes in their life. I don't know very many of you, very few do I know, but I do want to tell you, I know this much about some of you. Some of you have come from very rough backgrounds. Well, maybe not. Didn't get one amen. I guess all of you were angels. Did anybody come from a rough background? Was anybody saved from a vile world? Was anybody a sinner before you came to God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the very pits of hell, as we could describe it, Rahab said, I'm going to hide these people. I'm going to take care of them. At the threat of death, a sinner. You want to call it that in the Old Testament? Understand what I'm preaching. Preserve the people of God. You never know who you're sitting next to on a bus, shopping downtown, working next to. You never know what they're going through until you tell them about you coming to God and finding salvation for yourself. My, let me move through a few of these scriptures real quick. Matthew 16th chapter, the 14th verse, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. Others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And the Lord said, but who do you say that I am? Who are you willing to talk to about who he is? Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know who you are. Jesus answered, said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can I preach to you for a few more minutes? The gates of hell is not going to prevail against this church. You've put out churches. You've grown in the community. You've sent out preachers around this area. You've gone beyond the borders of the United States of America into foreign countries. And you have church branch works there. You've done what you're called to do. Don't ever stop. This is saving people from hell. You are literally saving people from hell. Even Jesus came from Nazareth. And Nathanael said, what good thing can come from Nazareth? Because Nazareth was such an evil city, a wicked city. It could be compared to Las Vegas, maybe other major, ugly, sinful cities. But now, Las Vegas is no longer just Sin City. Every one of our cities are sin cities. Every one of our towns are full of evil and corruption. City councils are giving way to things that are no longer able to stop. Church and religious things are no longer able to shut the doors on evil. Our world has been opened up to immorality like never before. Divorce is rampant in our world because of opportunity of sin. Oh, if I could preach to somebody today. Hell is making its encroaches to the very door and the threshold of the church. They've built their threshold right next to the threshold of the church. But there's a wall there. They don't make it inside the church because they're stopping people out there saying, we can just give you whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Just pass the plate. We'll take an offering and leave you right where you are. There's churches of Satan. There's churches now that are starting of atheism all over America. We're on the very brink of the destructive forces of the gates of hell. But somewhere we've got to get a burden and recognize, yes, something good can come out of Nazareth. Something good can come out of the church. When these doors open and we flood this city today to all parts of restaurants or wherever, don't forget to tell people who you are. Don't forget to let them know that you are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel such a good spirit in this church right now. My, my, my. When Nathanael said, what good can come out of Nazareth? You know what Philip said to him? Philip said, come and see. Before you criticize the church, why don't you get somebody to come and see the church? You've been in church, some of you, a long time, maybe. Maybe you're not used to the world. Maybe you have no idea what's going on in our world. But before you criticize what's going on in the church, you need to know the world is a whole lot worse than the church. It's got more hypocrites in the world than it does in church. It's got more vile people out there than's in the church. I don't care how bad you may think the church is, it's many, many fold better than the world. Come and see. Come and see. Can I just tell you, church, don't sit on your hands when you come to church. Make this the most powerful place in this city. Somebody needs deliverance. They may be in another service today, but they may be here tonight. And they need deliverance that they didn't get in another place. We need deliverance here. We're at the church of the very gates of hell. Before you criticize the church, why don't you tell them to come and see the church? Come and experience the church. The book of Jude, 21st verse, said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference. And others, with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Can I preach to you right outside the walls of this church? Are individuals that you need to pull from the very fire. Compassion, yes, we'll have compassion. Oh, yes, we'll have compassion. Not to the point of destroying what God has given to us, though. We're not going to let the world take over the church. We're going to take over the world. I know we're living right at the very gates of hell. The Revelator said, I know, he wrote, the Lord said, I know where you dwell, even where the seat of Satan is, but you've overcome the world. I know who you are. I know your works. It's time for the church to shine like never before. It's time for us to reach beyond the church, pulling them, literally pulling them
out of the fire. You came today, you were tormented. You came today, you were addicted. You came today, you were in the struggles of your life. You came today troubled in your spirit. You came to a church that believes in deliverance. You came to a church that believes in the fire of the Holy Ghost, burning out the dross of life. I came today to tear down the wall of separation between you and the church. I'm going to reach as far as I can reach today and pull you out of the fire. Hell is on the brink right now. The world is in the very destructive forces, its final phases of destruction just prior to the coming of the Lord. We have compassion. Oh, yes, we have compassion. But there's another side of us that we're going to find somebody whose life is so tormented. You don't know how to climb out of the hell you're in. You don't know how to climb out of the struggles you're in. You don't know how to get out of the struggles you're in. We came reaching into the very pits of hell, and we're going to pull you out today. I said, we're going to pull you out today. We're reaching for you right now. As the musicians come, we're going to reach for somebody right now. We're going to reach for you today, friend of mine. I want to pull you out of the very clutches of Satan. I want to pull you out of the very gates of hell today. As this congregation stands, we're on the brink of some deliverance right now. We're on the brink of Jesus coming to this congregation in a powerful way tonight. You're destroyed. You're disturbed. You're in trouble. I'm telling you, I'm going to reach for you right now as far as I can reach from the very gates of hell. And we are the church at the very gates of hell, right where Satan dwells. But let me tell you, friend, we are here to let you know there's a better life for you. There's a better life for you. And as we prepare to sing, I'm not going to invite you to come and shake my hand and say you're a Christian. I'm going to invite you today to meet Jesus, who knows how to change your life and make it all over brand new again. I don't want to invite you today to have you sign a church card and make you a member of the church because you dropped something in the offering. Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't care about your money, and I don't care about your past. What I care about, will you reach just far enough for us to reach where you are today? Would you just reach a little farther than you're reaching right now? Would you just reach out to the one that can save you? We're on the very brink of hell. We came to this place today to save you. And as we sing and we make an invitation today, I wonder if there's anybody that would make their way to the cross of Calvary where Jesus waits to save. God bless you, young men. I wonder if anybody would step out from where they are and let us reach to where you are today. I know how close we are to the world. We're never going to separate ourselves so far that we can't reach where you are. We're not going to get so holy that we get so far away from where you are. We're going to reach where you are. There's somebody in this house today that you felt the touch of the Holy Ghost already. Whether you're in the balcony, whether you're in the pew, these altars are open this morning. We invite you. We're going to reach to where you are. We're going to pull you right out of the very clutches of Satan and out of the clutches of hell. And we are going to bring you closer to God than you've ever been in your life. We're knocking down the wall that separates you from the church. You must respond to the hand that reaches across the threshold from the very gates of hell. The reason we're reaching the lost is that we're pulling them out of the fires of hell, tormented. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We're reaching past the church today. We're reaching to where you are today. We're reaching to where you are. Passion is driving us to